All right, everyone. The year is 1500 BC. God's people are enslaved, being worked to death under the hand of their cruel masters. There's no hope of release, no end to the suffering in sight. But then, one man is given a chance. One man has an opportunity to forever change the balance of power. Does he blow it? On the first time around, he does. But does God use even our failures in his grand plan? Absolutely. This is Moses' origin story. So his story begins in the book of Exodus. We find that in this time, the Israelites are enslaved by the Egyptians, but God is continuing to increase their population. Unfortunately, the Pharaoh sees this increase in their population and is afraid that if Egypt were to come under attack, the Israelites would side with the attackers and rise up against the Egyptians. And so the Pharaoh issues an order that all newborn Israelite boys be thrown into the Nile to be killed. And so this is the situation into which Moses is born. And so we pick up his story in Exodus chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it in tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister, that is Moses' sister, asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I took him out of the water." So far, this is a pretty cool story. We can clearly see that God is working to greatly improve Moses' life. He has, one, prevented Moses from being killed as an infant. Two, he has provided for Moses' mother. She's getting paid to raise her own child. And three, Moses now gets to be brought up in the lap of luxury. He's brought up as one of the Pharaoh's relatives. So there's clearly something going on. Moses is being set up for something great. But as we keep reading, things get a little crazy. So continuing in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, we read, "One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." Now, we can't know Moses' exact reason for killing the Egyptian, but the New Testament actually does give us an idea of what might have been going on in his mind. So in the book of Acts, there's a story about Stephen. He is a member of the new church, and he has been arrested for preaching the gospel. And we find that he is on trial, facing tons of false accusations, and he's given a chance to respond to all these accusations. In that moment, the Spirit of God comes over him and transfigures his face. It says he had the face like an angel, and it inspires him to give a response to all these accusations. In that response, he says this in Acts chapter 7, verse 22. "Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. So what Stephen is saying here is that Moses knew God's plan for his life. He knew what his calling was. Stephen also tells us Moses was very well equipped to do this. And again, Stephen said he was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was a smart dude. He knew how to work within the political and social realms of Egypt. He was also powerful in speech and action. Now, if you were part of a culture that was oppressed and enslaved, and you were raised up like Moses is, and you knew that you were called to free the people who were being oppressed, we would think, let's start an uprising. And so I believe that that is what Moses had in mind here. He knew that God was calling him to this. He knew that he had been equipped. And he saw that the way he was going to do this was to lead an uprising. And that's what he had in mind when he killed this Egyptian. He was beginning to plant those seeds of an uprising. But thankfully, God had a different plan in mind. And so later, continuing the story, we read this. When Pharaoh heard of this, that is that Moses had killed the Egyptian, the Pharaoh tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian. And then I'm going to summarize the rest of the story here. Moses got married. He worked as a shepherd for his father-in-law for 40 years, after which God gave Moses a second chance to go back to Egypt and release the Israelites, which he does through God bringing the plagues, parting the Red Sea, leading them in the desert for 40 years, and then making it to the Promised Land. That's as far as I'm going to go into all of that. So what really happened here? Moses knew God's purpose. He knew what God wanted him to do. And he was really well equipped to do it. He had the power. He had the strength. He had the ability to speak well. So what went wrong? What went wrong is that Moses didn't rely on God every step of the way to guide him in reaching his life's purpose. And because of that, God was forced to strip away all of Moses' skills and abilities, his power. And we don't want that to happen to us. And so I want to look at, how can we avoid that? How can we avoid giving God no choice but to strip away all of the blessings he's given us so that we'll be dependent on him? Now, I'm not saying that it's bad to be dependent on God. That is very good to be dependent on God. It is only when we are fully dependent on God that our lives can bear the fruit that he wants them to bear. What we want to avoid is him every time to strip everything away to where that's our only option. So what example do we have to follow in this? Who can we look to show us how to go about this in the correct way? Well, thankfully, Moses is actually a foreshadowing of Jesus. So stick with me for a moment here. Both men, Moses and Jesus, were part of God's family, and they were raised in the house of the oppressor. In Moses' case, that was the house of the Egyptians, the house of Pharaoh. In Jesus' case, he was raised in the world and the evil that permeates it. Moses eventually leads his people out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. Jesus leads all people out of sin and into freedom to live for him, and eventually into spending eternity with him in the new earth. The law of the Israelites was given to them through Moses via the stone tablets. In the New Testament, we read this. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law that was given through Moses. But what I really wanted to highlight here is the difference between these two men and how they went about the time that using the time that they had leading up to their sort of first opportunity to take a step towards the goal or the purpose that God had given them. So going back to Stephen's account, he said Moses was 40 when he killed the Egyptian, and he had been brought up in the wisdom of the Egyptians. So that means he was going to school, he was being educated, he was developing his own skills and abilities, and focusing on his own strength, so that when the time came for him to act, when the time came for him to make a decision to, in that moment, have to work towards God's purpose that he had given him, he would have the strength in himself to do it. So that was Moses' approach. Focus on myself, focus on my strengths, build myself up so that I can be strong enough. Jesus took a different approach. So his sort of first act in working towards fulfilling his purpose that God had given him comes immediately after he's been baptized. And so we can read this in Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was a little bit hungry. Actually, he was very hungry. Then the tempter came to him. So Jesus knew that something was coming. He knew he was going to be tempted. But what did he choose to do with that time he had leading up to that? He fasted. He focused his spirit. He focused on God. That's what fasting does. It focuses our mind on God. And this was done so that when the time came for Jesus to act, when he was tempted, when he was forced to choose between the temptation and doing things God's way, he was able to let God's strength flow through him and guide his steps. And so this is the example that we want to follow in our lives. We want to be sure that God is able to work through us in every step of our lives as we are working towards the purpose he has given us. And we can specifically follow Jesus' example for this. Jesus was praying all the time. He was always trying to get away from all the people, to have some time to himself and to God. He fasted. He focused his spirit. And in everything, he submitted to God's will. Just before being crucified, Jesus had some time alone with God, knowing that he was going to be tortured to death, and then he was going to be separated from God. He prayed this prayer: Father, take this cup of suffering from me, but not my will be done, but your will be done. This is so vital that we follow this example of Jesus. Because only in God's power can we fulfill the purpose he has given to us. Jesus said it like this in John 15:5. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in them, they will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So this is actually something that God has been showing me in my own life pretty recently. Having just graduated from school, you know, I was looking for a job. And so as I was doing that, I had in my mind, I've got the skills, I've got the abilities, I've got the connections with the companies, you know. And I did. I had everything that I thought would make me the perfect candidate for any job that I wanted. But God had something else in mind. So my senior year, you know, I applied to a bunch of jobs. I was trying to find a place to work. I actually had a couple of interviews, but nothing worked out. So by the end of my senior year, I was growing a little desperate. I had no idea what I was going to do. And so at that point, God was starting to show me that, hey, man, all these things that you have, they don't matter unless you're seeking these things with me. And so God got me to the point where I gave up on finding a job. I was prepared to apply and go to grad school, which is not at all what I wanted. That was the last thing that I wanted, was to go back to school. But after I reached that point, God gave me another chance. There was a job I found. It wasn't in a great area of interest to me. I had some relevant experience, but it was just an online application. I didn't really have any connections with the company. So I just applied. I figured, what the heck, I'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens. I had one phone interview for that with that company, and God gave me the job. And so I think that doing things this way, God has given me the opportunity to say, I got this job in God's power, in God's strength. He gave this to me. Whereas if I had gotten a job through any other way, through working the connections, through showing everyone my skills and my abilities, that would have been me getting the job for myself. And doing it this other way allows me to glorify God even more. And so the big idea in all this is that we need to choose to be fully dependent on God. Otherwise, he might make our dependence on him our only option. But even if that is what it takes, taking every step of our journey in working towards God's purpose for us, if we take that step with God, our lives will yield the most beautiful fruit for Jesus and the gospel. So rely on God. Depend on him. Take every step of your life with God and in his power. And do this for everything. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for making us dependent beings. Thank you that you created us, that we are drawn to you, that we need to, that there is no way that we can be separated from you. Lord, I ask that you would show us all where we are straying from your path, straying from the path you have laid out for us, even if we think we're working towards the right end goal. Lord, help us to be dependent on you. Show us where we can be dependent on you. Help us to be okay with that, because it is hard. Lord, I ask that as we go throughout this next week, you would show us where we may be straying from your path, and you would show us how to get back on that path, and help us to take every step with you. Amen.